Welcome back to a new episode of Passion for Technology, the podcast from EPD Electronic. Great to have you with us.
Welcome to the Passion for Technology podcast. Today, our day-to-day lives are full of technology. All these technologies, in any capacity or form, want to be operated. Humans must somehow interact with the various devices, machines, and technical systems. This is the domain of HMI, human-machine interfaces. With the complexity of the technologies that surround us every day, the need for human-machine interfaces that offer the most positive user experience possible is also increasing. Allied Market Research estimates that the global market for human-machine interfaces will grow to $10.8 billion by 2031. That's up from $4 billion in 2021. As this happens, interaction options are becoming increasingly diverse, with HMI solutions ranging from push buttons and multi-touch screens to voice and gesture control. In this episode, we will be talking about trends and technologies in this exciting market. Our guest today is Karl Lehnhoff, director at EBV Elektronik. Hi, Karl. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Mustafa.
Karl, let's start with an important question right away. What exactly is an HMI? Is it, you know, a light switch, a computer mouse, or a neuro implant to control a prosthesis, let's say? Which of these do you consider to be human-machine interfaces?
That's a quite easy answer. In the end of the day, it's all of them. So when we look to a switch, so a lighting switch or any other kind of switch, that's a kind of a basic HMI, and maybe we don't recognize it anymore today. When we look to other things like computer mouse, what we use every day, let's say quite clear that it's a human-machine interface for us. And then the nowadays are really these neural implants, which are also called as then brain-machine interface, which is, let's say, the high advance of an HMI today.
And what would you say, Karl, what technologies for human-machine interaction are in particular demand today in the present?
So let's start again with classic ones, the basic ones. So switches. We use them everywhere, and I think we also will use them in the future. They will not disappear. On the other hand, we are used to use a lot of touch screens, like with our smartphones and whatever. And I think here, even in other applications, here I think one of the points for the future will be we need more haptic feedbacks. I think really to know what happened that we have done that. And what is coming more and more is the voice recognition. So we use that with smartphones and other devices already in our daily life. So everybody is using maybe Alexa or Siri or all this stuff around. But it's not only for smart homes. It will also come in other applications for future. So like industrial application or others. And then for sure, geisha. Geisha is coming more and more. And it's helpful. It's more a natural thing. So using voice and geisha is something natural for us as humans. And then for sure, we use a lot of biometric authentications like face recognition at the phone or other applications, fingerprint scanners or iris scanners. This is also something which is used. And what I also like really, and I saw that on the Hannover Fair this year, this augmented and virtual reality coming more and more, using these glasses to control maybe a cobot, helping in logistic areas. So this is something that is really a nice feature for the future.
Karl, now you've covered a lot of ground, but you've also said that touchscreens, that they're literally everywhere. I mean, they have become ubiquitous. And I'd like to know if there, you know, is anything else that you could say about the evolution of touchscreens, maybe. You know, is the current way and form of how we use touchscreens the be-all and end-all of HMIs when it comes to touchscreens?
Yes, touchscreen we have today everywhere, and they improve a lot, but this is not the end, for sure not. And especially not everything fits for all solution today. And we see that the upcoming 3D version of the touchscreen, and I think also often one missing point will be the haptic feedback at the touchscreen. And I think in future also the combination with others like geisha control combined with touchscreen, that could be something for the future.
Karl, when you look at, for instance, statements from the ADAC, you know, Europe's largest automobile association, or DECRA, the world's largest expert organization for testing, inspection, and certification, both have found that a touchscreen for operations in the car does not only have advantages, but, you know, could potentially also distract drivers. What do you think is the best way to design a genuinely good human-machine interface for this domain?
Yeah, I think that is a big problem for sure if you're driving a car. I think one point is that the touchscreen or the display itself has to be large enough. And where you have touch, the feel set should be large, that you can find it, that you can reach it. So you have to have a precise tapping on that. And also to having that there a feedback, and haptic feedback, to know that it's happened, that is also help. Now, otherwise, you have to concentrate too long to the screen. And also you have to minimize complex tasks where you need a couple of tapping to come to the input at the end of the day. Yeah, and I think this is the point. And here, even combine that maybe with some geisha route, even with voice control, that could be a point where you can use it more efficient and take care that your hands are on the steering wheel and not somewhere else, and your eyes also on the street and not on the touchscreen.
You've mentioned sensory feedback a couple of times, haptics, and their importance for, you know, letting the user know whether inputs were successful or not. What do you think is the best way to realize this? How can they be combined, you know, haptic feedback, how can that be combined with a touchscreen in usage scenarios?
Yeah, okay, so haptic feedback, that's quite really important, really, to know that if you push a button or a touchscreen, to know there's a feedback. So typically today, the technique which is used is to use an actuator like a motor or like a piezoelectric actuator, which gives feedback to your finger. What we also see right now when it comes to the displays, that they have this tactile feedback layers, which generates bumps below the display so that you really can feel you have changed something. Yeah, you have pushed a button. That should be the feeling at the end of the day, and that's important. We see also other applications, not only like touchscreen, but we see buttons behind maybe glass where you also need such feedback. And then there is used again often a motor to give some feedback, really a mechanical feedback. And when you wear some gloves or whatever, the feedback has to be higher then. So then maybe you need already a force which is in the range of maybe 1 or 2 G. So this is a major force. Otherwise, you will not feel that in your glove.
If you talk about human-machine interfaces today, you can hardly avoid AI. It seems like you can't avoid AI anywhere. Besides its use, AI's use in speech and gesture recognition, what role does AI play in human-machine interfaces? And what about AI's future role in HMI?
I think maybe we don't recognize it, but we use a lot of AI already today. When we use our smartphone, the voice recognition is in, the face recognition is in there. And in vision, it is often used. So all these traffic cameras, they use AI inside to find maybe a number plate or do even a face recognition. So it is used already a lot and it comes more and more. And also in voice recognition, and that is something for the future, it has to improve the language understanding, really to understand maybe even some difficult words. AI will do also looking more to understand a verb and learn on that. We have to have more verbs, and here AI will help a lot. And in the future, we also see that with a brain-computer interface or in advanced virtual and augmented reality or for predictive analytics, AI is needed. And I think for the future, it will also go to machine learning more and more. Said that in some cases, even the device itself is able to learn, maybe to understand a new verb or whatever, something like that. And at the end of the day, even when it came to translation, yeah, AI is helpful. Real-time translation of a language. You speak in German and English comes out or vice versa or some other languages. And we use it already today in our smartphones. When we are traveling, yeah, when we're in vacation, maybe we use it already. So it is there, but it has to improve for the future.
What is the key to an ideal user experience from your perspective? We've talked about so many different modes of input. We've also now just mentioned speech and gesture recognition. But what remains key to an ideal user experience?
Okay, maybe start with some limits. I think one of the most important points, what we know, what we learn every day, is the recognition accuracy. So the gesture or the voice, the command is not recognized by 100%. It's 100% accurate. I think that is one point. And then for sure, in speech, often it is a limited vocabulary. So I see that every day with my car, some words, it's understanding, some not. And if you use the wrong word, the command is not executed. This leads then to the keys. So we have to have a high accuracy and reliability. I think that is the point. We have to make it clear. And I think for that, again, AI will help the understanding, especially when it came to speech. You have then maybe some accents which are not known. We have to find that out and all the things. And I think that is one of the keys here. And there are a lot of others around. And also we have to take care about privacy protection. We have to take care that there's a feedback, an error handling, if something is there. So there are a lot of things so we can improve. And for sure, the major point for me is really the reliability and the accuracy.
Kyle, more and more HMIs are also connected and have access to the internet. What does this mean for cybersecurity? What must be taken into account at the design?
Okay, cybersecurity is anyhow a big issue at any time when you connect the system to the cloud. It's open and everybody can manipulate, get in, whatever. You have to take care on that. So this issue is normally recognized in the European government in Brussels, and they take care about that. They're coming standard in place, or there are standard in place for the different applications. So which you have to fulfill at on a certain level. That we have to take in account. And for sure, to connect the human machine interface to the cloud, you have some advantages, but even you have to take care about the key aspects for cybersecurity, like encryption, like having secure protocols, having an efficiency device and user management, and having security in the access area. And later on, I think a big problem is also software. We know that everywhere with our computer or with our smartphones, you have to do regular updates on the security patches. I think this is an important point, yeah. So it has to be maintained for the future. It's not install it once and leave it alone and never touch it again.
Given the range of technologies, can EBV Electronic help with the realization of human-machine interfaces? And if so, how?
For sure, we are one of the leading specialists in semiconductors. So we can help on the semiconductor level, on the technology. We can help even nowadays in direction to software, at least as a consultant. For that, we have our segment structure where we have market segments and technology sets. And this similar we have also in the field with our field application engineers. We have technology FIEs, and also we have system FIEs who have taken care about the system. And for sure, at the end of the day, when it comes to production, we can help in the supply chain management and all this stuff around.
Kyle, how about sister companies from the Avnet Group? Do you work together with them also in this context? And how do customers benefit from this?
Yes. On one hand, we have our sister company, Avnet Abacus, who takes care about the interconnect, passive and electromechanics. So here we can help to really fulfill the complete bill of material and help that everything what they need, we can work together on. On the other hand, we have the Avnet Embedded. And Avnet Embedded, as a sister company, they offer a complete solution for a customer application. So we can do really customized application here. They do the development, they do the production. And they can work in a wide range of applications. And on top, we have a software company, VTQ, who's doing care about the software for that. And Avnet Embedded is working closely together with VTQ on this. And we as EBV, we are, at the end of the day, the full service partner, so that the customer only needs one who has to connect with and get all the service around.
What do current developments in the field of human-machine interfaces, you know, let's say, for example, keywords AI, 3D touchscreens, what do they mean from the perspective of the semiconductor industry? How is the design of microprocessors affected by this, for instance?
What we here clearly see is the trend from a microcontroller to a microprocessor. And this has to do a lot with, let's say, the bigger size and the more functionalities of the touchscreen. And we see that already in smartphones and tablets like this since a while. And this trend now comes all to the other application. The display itself getting more complex is animated, and this can't be fulfilled with microcontrollers anymore. So it comes to more powerful microprocessors in the future. And then for sure, you need more computing power also for the artificial intelligence things around. And even in future for the 3D touchscreen, you need more powerful processors than in the past.
Kyle, what developments in HMI do you find particularly exciting and why?
I think here I'm tend to the voice and gesture recognition because it's more the natural interaction a human has. And that is quite helpful, especially in many situations. So we discussed that already with car situation, but they are also in operating in industrial could be helpful to have the hands free to do something special when do the control via voice or use it combined with the gesture. And that could be helpful. And I think all for that, and we discussed it also in the question before, I think the key will be the artificial intelligence.
When Neuralink appeared in media, you know, with their brain-computer interface, it immediately raised fantasies and fears with people. What do you think, Carl? Will we really be able to control machines with, you know, our thoughts alone?
That's quite difficult to say, but I believe that, especially when we look to medical point of view, that is a quite interesting field. And I hope that we can help people to live better with their disabilities today.
How do you feel about having chips in your brain? You know, semiconductors implanted somewhere under your skull, on top of your brain matter. What type of thoughts does that trigger with you? How do you feel about that?
On one hand, I understand the fears. But the question for me is a little bit more, what is your personal situation? And the personal situation will drive it more the thing in the direction to see it as a risk or as a benefit. So if you are disabled and it helps in your daily life, you will see the benefit and see less the risk. But I'm getting older, I believe more in the benefits than in the risk. But it has something to do with my own situation again.
You know what, Carl? I have to, you know, I think I agree with you there. And I wouldn't even wait to either get older or, God beware, but end up with a disability. I try it for the fun of it, you know, for the additional benefits that you could gain from having that. I also find that very exciting. But how about you? What particularly fascinates you about HMI in general, beyond chips on your gray matter?
The fascination is really that the field is so broad. So starting with a basic function like only a switch where you can only do switch on, switch off. And this will stay more or less in a lot of application forever. But the other thing is around, it helps you on your daily life with more the touch screens and with the voice recognition, what I like really as a nice feature, and really towards to the brain control interface. So if this will be used everywhere, who knows that? Maybe in 50 years, 100 years, or maybe earlier, nobody knows. But I think that's the fascination I have. There is something coming after the HMI we have today, that is pretty clear for me. How it looks like, I don't know. But there's something, and people are looking on that, spending R&D time on it and trying that. And I think that's a point. And at the end of the day, we can discuss then if you like it or don't like it, but we need the technology first, and then we can discuss this topic. And that's the fascination. So that's more the fascination of the technology overall. So what is kind of our EBV slogan?
Absolutely. And this is certainly an extremely exciting field. So, Carl, since you've been on our show, you do know, and since you listen to this, you do know that we have a closing question for every single episode that stays the same. And that is that I would very much like to know when and how you developed your individual passion for technology. And you gave us a perspective on that last time you were on the show. Now I'm asking for a different perspective. So can you think of another, you know, scenario, scene, time in your life where you would say that's one of the instances where I did develop my passion for technology?
I would really say it changed. So the first 10 years of my working life, I was working R&D on a special application, a power supply for luminaires. And after 10 years, I was, let's say, in an area where you can wake me up in the night and I can tell you everything out of the standard. Out of my brain, don't reading anymore and whatever. And then I thought, okay, this is nothing you will do ever for the next 35 years of your working life. And then I changed and then I came to distribution and that was changing a lot and saw in all the application, talking every day with customer on a different application, on different needs and try to understand what they need, whatever. That drives me really then to say, this is the right area where I would like to be. Roughly 12 years ago, I changed to the segment. The segment even offers much, much more broader visibility. Before it was more regional, but now it's EMEA-wide, seeing a lot of people in R&D seeing what they try to develop and what they are doing. That is my passion. That's my personal driver. And to see what is coming next and to see product which came maybe on the market in 3 years from now. That's a slot on the market maybe today. And I think this is really what drives me in my daily work.
Thank you, Carl. Listeners, as always, you can find more info in our show notes. Please feel free to subscribe to our podcast, Passion for Technology, on either Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any of the other popular podcasting platforms. Carl, thank you for joining us once more today.
Thank you, Mustafa.